In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yes, it's true. Alan Adams from The Main Edge here to talk movies with us. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Hi there, Alan.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Great, thanks. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Pretty good. Nice to see Black Bears pulling out a win this weekend.
Yeah,
that was nice.
That was fun indeed. Absolutely. And Patriots got a win, although you couldn't see it because of the fog. But
yeah, no, I mean, perfect for this time of year.
Yeah, I like that. Now, are you wearing? Yeah, you're
wearing.
Yeah,
I'm 100% wearing shorts.
No, October 23rd, we're wearing shorts.
Yeah, they're gonna have to pry them off me.
This is the greatest fall in the history of falls.
Yeah, and there's more of the same. I mean, it's supposed to rain, I think, the next couple days, but it's still gonna be plenty warm.
Absolutely, so. We'll take it indeed. Well, Alan, we were saying last hour, we love it. We love it a lot when. There are movies that you're not all that fond of, as we say. You see them so we don't have to. And it sounds like we've got two candidates for that this week.
Yeah, we've got a pair of real winners this week. The question I have for you is, do we want to hear about the one that's bad in a fun way? Or do we want to hear about the one that's bad in a bad way first?
Let's start with bad in a fun way.
Okay. That would be Mike Lowe's new favorite movie, Geostorm. If you have any affinity for the blockbuster films of the mid to late 1990s, you're familiar with the work of one Dean Devlin, although you might not necessarily know it. He was a longtime writing and producing partner with Roland Emmerich, so the two of them worked together on stuff like Stargate and Independence Day, the 1998 Godzilla. They worked on The Patriot together, so these big sort of blockbustery movies that are... Even though they're across genres, they're still of a type. They parted ways after The Patriot for like 15 years, came back together to work on the Independence Day sequel from last year. He had never before taken a turn in the director's chair until now with Geostorm, a film that he also co-wrote the screenplay. And I'll be honest with you, if it was still 1998, this movie probably would have been the biggest box office smash of the year. But you know what? What worked in 1998 doesn't necessarily resonate as well in 2017. I refer to the movie as sort of Emmerich Light. It's a sci-fi action movie, less disaster porn and more disaster late night Skinamax, if that makes sense to you. Like, it's just the sort of off-brandedness of it. It's weirdly familiar, but not in a way that evokes any nostalgia, but definitely brings you to the point of incredulously shaking your head numerous times. For what it's worth, it's a bad movie, but I definitely kind of enjoyed myself when I was watching it. It's in the near future. The Earth's weather has reached extremes that threaten to render it uninhabitable. It's a last-ditch effort to save the world. A coalition of like 17 countries comes together to use science to save the day. And so what they do is they design some sort of space net. It's never really particularly well described, made up of numerous satellites that will use lasers and whatnot to control the weather. It's all led from a centralized space station headquarters, and the whole shebang is referred to as Dutch Boy, as in, you know, the story of the Dutch boy who put his finger in the deck, because movies like this need to be really on the nose with their metaphors, because otherwise you're going to lose people. So there's this guy, Jake Lawson, played by Gerard Butler, who would have been a massive star in the 1990s, by the way. He's sort of this astronaut scientist type guy who was responsible for designing Dutch Boy. He's a maverick and a loose cannon.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's removed from control by a Senate committee. And the job is handed over to a government bureaucrat who just also happens to be his brother, because that's how these movies work. So his brother is now in charge of Dutch Boy. And, years pass and it's controlling the weather and everything's great. But then Dutch Boy starts to malfunction. And they need Jake Lawson's help to get it back online. But when he gets up to the space station and starts investigating, it soon becomes clear it's not malfunctioning. It's sabotage.
Oh.
And there are any number of people who could be suspected of this sort of sabotage, whether it's the new commander of the space station, who's a German scientist, or... there are people who might, it goes all the way up to the presidency of the United States. The president, who, by the way, is played by Andy Garcia.
All right.
A better president than our real one.
Yeah, 100%.
Had it been 1998.
Yes, absolutely. so sinister machinations are afoot, and we get our race against the clock to try and prevent the impending formation of the, air quotes, geostorm. Which is apparently what happens when crazy big storms come together somehow and make a even bigger storm. It's not entirely clear how all that works, but it's apparently very bad. And so it's up to Jake Lawson on the space station and his brother and his brother's Secret Service agent girlfriend to save the day. And it's got literally all of the things that you want. It is gloriously stupid. He couldn't have recreated a big budget blockbuster reminiscent of his heyday any more clearly if he tried. You have the convoluted plot that involves treachery and conspirators that anyone with half a brain would immediately recognize. You've got the painfully self-aware one-liners and blatant exposition dumps. You've got technology essentially being treated as magic and gratuitous destruction of recognizable landmarks. There's a lot of that, the extreme weather events, which is pretty fun. Over-reliance on CGI that will almost instantly look and feel dated. And an overwrought sentimental familial relationship whose resolution is inexplicably tied to the success of whatever the hell it is we're doing.
Now I sort of want to see it.
Look, real talk, you're like an Aerosmith ballad away from 90s perfection in this movie. It's a bad movie. Like, I can't stress this enough. It is a bad movie, but I was entertained as all get out because you could see the beats coming. And it's like, if you love those movies, and I cut my teeth on those action movies, it's one of those things where it's like, you're going to have fun even as you acknowledge this is a really, really stupid movie.
And then there's The Snowman.
Oh. Man, let me just tell you about, and I'm a fan of the sort of, they call it like Scandinoir, like the weird bleak, like crime thrillers that come out of like sweet, like the biggest example is the Stieg Larsson Millennium Trilogy, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and whatnot. But there's this author by the name of Joe Nesbø in Norway, who sold millions of books. And he has this character, this detective, with the unfortunate name of Harry Hole. That's real. That's a real thing. Detective Harry Hole. That's the star of like 10 books. And this movie is one of them. We have The Snowman. He's the brilliant and damaged detective, Harry Hole. It's apparently a very popular, very high quality sort of
child.
Mystery. Oh, I'm right there with you, man. Like, I didn't stop chuckling for like 45 minutes. It's apparently a very well received book, a very popular book. The movie, on the other hand, doesn't really have any of that. It honestly plays like it was made by someone who has only the vaguest idea of how movies work. It's disconnected. It feels nothing that happens really makes any sense. There are no real decisions with genuine motivations behind them. Okay, I'm going to try to give you a quick plot synopsis, but honestly, it doesn't really matter. Detective Harry Hole, a hard-drinking detective whose deductive brilliance is largely offset by his raging alcoholism. He's got a general inability to function in society. He's got an ex. He's got an ex girlfriend, wife. Again, never made particularly clear. Named Oleg. Named Raquel and Oleg and blah blah blah. Look, I'm not gonna beat around the bush here. This is a movie that does not make a lick of sense. It's not worried about little things like plot or consistency of timeline or narrative coherence or being comprehensible in any significant way. Nor is it even a little bit worried about being good. It's got all the pieces, it's got a decent source material, a director who's demonstrated a grasp of movie making techniques, a really solid cast, a beautiful setting. And then when you put it all together, what you get is a dumpster fire that's fueled with ennui and loot fisk. Like that's all it is. It's like a Scandinavian nightmare that, I honestly don't know how this movie made it onto screens. It's like, every step of the way, whether it was the director making terrible decisions or the editor making terrible decisions or the actors desperately looking like they wanted to find any kind of way out. It's a terrible film. Oh, before I forget, J.K. Simmons is in it with an inexplicable accent. And Val Kilmer shows up as a different drunken antisocial detective in flashbacks who sometimes doesn't even appear to be properly dubbed. So, yeah, The Snowman. Awful.
Ennui and Lutefisk. Wasn't that an emo band from Minnesota?
I believe it was, yes.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge, Pass the Popcorn, every Monday afternoon on the program.